Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
The devil works very, very hard, I assure you. The Bible said he roams like a roaring lion. If your eyes open and you see demons on assignment, you will discover that even the most serious of us is very lazy. I've seen it a couple of times. I've seen demons try to force people to do things they don't want. And if you see the way they jump around people, you'll be amazed. See that thought, that compelling thought you are having to call the lady, to call the lady. If you know how many pictures they showed you, if you know how many whispers, you will see a demon cling to somebody's ear. Call her now, call her now, call her. You'll be amazed. So the devil is on assignment. And I showed us three global strategies that the devil is bringing into the world. It's already begun, but it's going to be intensified in this season. The strategy of encroachment, to besiege us until he zeroes us into oblivion. The strategy of infiltration, to bring error, sin, iniquity and treachery into everything we do, so that our internal energy is depleted and we can no longer rise, even when we know the ability to bring forth will be lacking. And then the strategy of suffocation, using authorities that be to choke and to suppress our conviction until nobody can cry restore. For this cause, I told us that the Holy Ghost will be baptizing the body of Christ again with the spirit of martyrdom. Many rugged and dogged men will rise without fear of death. Men without the agenda of self-preservation that are willing to contend with the enemy at the gate. Such men will rise. I said the Lord is raising three quadrants. Missionaries, who are men that will go out there to bring the counsel of God to the body and even to the gates of the enemy. Intercessors and cave dwellers who will generate continuously spiritual power and territorial atmosphere that is suitable for advancing the kingdom. And then sons of consolation with enormous business strategy and understanding in wealth creation and influence to facilitate, fast track, and to advance the kingdom through their resources. It's not a time to talk against prosperity. It's not a time to talk against prayer, and it's not a time to talk against missions. It's a triangular strategy of God to address everything the devil is bringing to the world. And most of you will find yourself having burdens in line with these three dimensions of God, of God's operation. Some of you will have burdens for souls, burdens to reach out, burdens to go out there and defend the integrity of the kingdom. Most of you, we have burdens for prayer. Most of you, we have burdens for wealth. But I told us that the first parameter of God that will be introduced in order to keep us within the region of safety and accuracy is the parameter of death. If death is not introduced, you will call your ambition ministry. You will call your appetite for wealth kingdom advancement strategy. And then you will call your laziness waiting on the Lord. So God will bring death in different layers. And I told us that Jesus, who happens to be the pattern man, experienced death at different layers in order to bring the kingdom to different extents and enough to host the possibilities of the kingdom that is ready and needed by the human race. Every one of us must be introduced to death. Paul will say he died daily. What is he dying to? He's dying to the flesh. He's dying to lust. is dying to ambitions, tendencies that makes him want to take the glory, tendencies that make him want to call his appetite and ambition the work of the kingdom. And if we don't do that, we may end up building systems that have the emblem of our name and our ancestry, and it will not have the emblem of the kingdom. It's important for us to know that there's nothing wrong in building churches. There's nothing wrong in buying things that are needed for the kingdom. But debt is the only dividing line that will separate our ambition from kingdom and advancement. This is why it is needful for us to embrace debt. I don't know how to emphasize this much more than I've done yesterday, but I was sure in my spirit last night that emphasis was not only communicated cognitively, it was also imparted as a body of truth. And most of you that left here yesterday, you would realize that you have made new resolutions. You realize you have received new abilities to stand for God and God alone. You would realize that you have been stripped of many appetites and many ambitions. How many of you had such experience last night? You see that. You may not understand completely, cognitively, everything that was communicated. But I tell you the truth, there are many appetites that have died. There are many addictions that have died. There are many ambitions that have been choked. And this morning I come to bring another layer. Because virtually every one of us will be ministers in the last day. Not fivefold ministers per se, but ministers of reconciliation. Bringing the world, bringing Jesus to the world at different levels, at different spheres, at different strata. But we will definitely be ministers. In our offices, in our marketplaces, in governmental platforms, we will all be ministers. So it's important for these things to be known. It's important for these things to become our realities. Debt daily, dying daily, must become your reality. Every time your ambition comes up, God will remind you. It's like an alarm. You can't hide it. I went for a meeting on the campus, and after ministry, that was recently, I've checked my heart many times, and I'm certain I don't have ambition for money. Or I went for a meeting, and they didn't have an honorarium for me. Actually, they made a payment for a flight and it was cancelled and all of that. In fact, I had to add money to pay for my flight, my return ticket. And while I was leaving, they said, "Thank you, sir." So I felt in my heart to teach them. You know, sometimes you say you want to teach, but there is a strand somewhere in your heart because you will not realize you have an expectation. I'm pouring my heart to you so that you will know and be helped. And then I called the guy to teach him. Whereas my expectation also was turned down, because naturally you will expect something. So I was nurturing my expectation as well. And when I called them, I told them, even if you don't have, the honorable thing to do is to explain your situation to the man of God and tell the man of God, "We had this challenge, we had this challenge. So at the time, we may not have anything to give, but we have a leading in our hearts that God wants you to bless us." So the man of God will prepare himself and not be stranded. And when I said that to them and left, 2 weeks later, I was going for a meeting and the Holy Ghost told me, "Don't receive anything they have to offer." I said, "Lord, you know what I did. I did with a perfect heart." You know, I was teaching these people with a perfect heart. I had no ambition. He said, "Don't take honorarium again." What? I'm a young preacher starting out. You say, "Don't take, I don't understand, Father. What is the plan? What is, tell me the other part that I don't know." And then I traveled for another meeting. And the night before I left, he said, "Remember not to take anything." Meanwhile, at this time, more than 70% of my meetings are campus meetings. And you are telling me if I go for a meeting that has to do with the campus, if the person is a campus preacher or a fellowship on campus, I shouldn't take honorarium. Amen. We are still praying on that matter. Me and him, we are still discussing. Because at this time, I want to know the exact timing. When should I start? But you don't know the language of death until the Holy Ghost begins to travel with you. These things are beyond doctrines. They are consecrations. God will show you a lot of things so that your heart becomes strong. That was why Paul began to learn trust in another dimension when he was carried through the corridor of death. Death is a language every one of us must understand. Every one of us, we must understand it. Every one of us. This morning I want to show us the second layer. It's called spiritual growth. When you die, you begin to grow. Every area of your life, you embrace death. It becomes another frontier for growth. If you don't truly embrace death, it will be difficult to grow. As important as growth is, death is the ground, the preparatory ground for growth in the kingdom. There are many things in God you will not know. There are many experiences in God you will not have. There are many dimensions of the kingdom you will not enter until you begin to die at different levels. It's a precursor for growth in the kingdom. A lot of people have visions. They have understanding of what to do. They don't just know why they cannot grow. Jesus will say, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. Growth begins where death is experienced. Because the eternal life of God does not grow side by side with the life of the flesh. Flesh will always resist eternal life. So eternal life is empowered where death is embraced. Kingdom growth is too important in the dispensation where we are in. In Isaiah chapter 3, the Bible said when God wants to leave a people vulnerable, if you want to see a people that are vulnerable, the Bible says he will make children their leaders. People that don't know when last they grew up, they will be on the microphone. They will be in leadership, emphasizing things verbosely with audacity they don't have understanding of. What they don't know, they'll be telling others with so much audacity. At the end of the day, all of them will be crumbled. You see somebody that have not experienced a dimension in God talking about it audaciously. That's why both him and the people listening have no experience. The reason is not because they have not studied. The reason is because it's not because they've not heard about it. The reason is because there is something in them resisting it. They've not given attention to that thing. But they want to talk about dimensions. You don't enter it by saying it. You enter it because you are being carried. In this kingdom, everything we experience is a carriage. Even prayer. You'll be shocked when you begin to do business on the altar that you can't pray until you are helped. So a man who prays is a man that has understood the economy of help. A man who travels in the spirit is a man that has understood the economy of the carriage of the spirit. So in this kingdom, if there's anything to look out for, is growth. Growth is not open doors. Growth is not being known everywhere. Growth is not talking about things you heard. Growth is your increase in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Many don't pay attention to this. This is why they go nowhere in the kingdom. It's possible for a man to use different strategy to gather people, yet himself and the people will be infants. God wants to do something in the land. He's still looking for the people in the cave. You will wonder why the churches are increasing, the number is increasing, but God can't find men. is because growth is lacking. We are massive in number, but we are few in stature. Many kingdom responsibilities cannot be committed, because the moment it's committed, self rises up. You think the guy is dead until fame comes. You think the guy is dead until money comes. When you hear what ministers, most times I like to use ministers, so that we will begin judgment from the household of God. If you hear pastors gather and talk, you'll be amazed. The plans and the agenda that we have is terrifying. Everything is a revelation of flesh, self, ambition, self-preservation, self-exaltation, self-glorification. But we polish it with excellence, polish it with all kinds of things, but the truth is we are not growing. That's why our prayers have no territorial implication. That's why our intercession have no territorial implication. The apostles will gather, lift their voices in one accord and pray. And instantly, you will hear the Bible say they were furnished with boldness. Boldness was lacking. They were flogged, threatened not to preach in the name of Jesus. They gathered and prayed. Instantly, boldness was downloaded. And the Bible will say, with great grace, God bore the apostles witness of the resurrection of Christ. Instantly, power and territorial dominion came. So much so that the Bible will say, the influence they commanded caused the whole city to gather at the apostles' feet. The people that were threatened, there was a ripple effect in the spirit. And the Bible will say there was none among them that lacked. Just because they gathered and prayed. Why is it that we have fasting for 1 month, yet there's no migration? We just feel excited. There's no territorial shift. We just feel excited. How come people don't necessarily migrate with all the activity? We are truly not growing. We just stay at one location, doing the same thing we are doing, exciting ourselves and motivating ourselves. When was the last time our evangelical mandate is able to wreck the Islamic world? When was the last time we came for fellowship and then we said, this lady was an Islamic person, but I spoke to her, she came to the church? When was the last time we spoke and things shifted, and you see that a measure of darkness upon the land was shifted? You come to the campus, people are dressing naked, they are continually dressing naked. You come to the campus, exam malpractice is ongoing, it continues like that. You come to the campus, sickness of all kinds, it continues like that. No territorial power. Because the men doing business are children. We think it's about the microphone. We think it's about new rhema. We think it's about being known. It's about posters and flyers. We don't grow. When we begin to grow, every one of us will begin to look like Jesus. Jesus himself, with every spiritual resource needed to grow. In Luke chapter 2 verse 40, the Bible said the child, Jesus, the child, the emphasis is on the word child. He is Jesus, but he is child. He is Lord, but he is child. He is master, but he is child. He said the child, Jesus, grew. The child, Jesus, grew. You can be an apostle, but you can be the child apostle. You can be a prophet, but you are a child prophet. Until we begin to grow in this kingdom, we cannot hold the dimensions that the world needs to see in order to be transformed. Our problem is not our message. Our problem is not our dress code. Our problem is not our coordination. Our problem is not the level of our education. Our problem is the measure of our growth. The fullness of the stature of Christ is lacking. The evangelism strategy is there. The prayer meetings are there. Beautiful and important. Excellence, too important. He said, make garments unto Aaron for beauty and for glory. Even God can't withstand a shabby person. So when we preach death, it's not shabbiness. That's why we dress well. So we are not saying death is poverty. We are not saying death is shabbiness. No. We are saying death is complete annihilation to the old man. Experientially, bringing the old man to his knees, so that the spirit man that is created after the life of God takes preeminence at all time. Growth. How much growth have you experienced? I know you are called. I know you are a preacher. I know you are skilled in the word of righteousness, but how much growth have you experienced? If we come to live in your house, are we going to see the preacher, the excellent man of God on the pulpit? Are we going to see that same man of God every day? This is why most times when men get married, that's when you will know whether they are men of God. Every dimension that was locked up on the pulpit and managed, you can't manage it at home. You can't manage it. Most times, the reason people stay away is not because they are waiting on God. I know a lot of preachers that are not seen anywhere. When you go home, they are either watching a movie, or they are chatting, or they are playing video game. Forget it. That they are out of sight does not mean they are in God's presence. But if you come close, you are going to see flesh. So the best thing to do is to lock away. You can't come close, because if you come close, your faith will collapse. The man that encouraged your faith so much, you now went to do retreat in his house for 1 week. When you come back, you say, your boys, this thing pains you. I think say the thing is in a lie. This is why most times you will find the most healthy Christians the day they give their hearts to Christ. The more they are churched, the more they become like the devil. He say you travel land and sea to make a proselyte, but you make him twice the son of hell. People are more on fire and more accurate the week they gave their hearts to Christ. Come back to church after 2 years and meet them. You will be shocked. Because they met so many children in the body of Christ. And they discovered they don't have to be holy after all. They don't have to be righteous after all. Secret purity is not really a necessity. All you know to do is package well, coordinate well, and at the end of the day, we can stage manage the service. There's no true growth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible will say, every one of us have received grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ. That life was communicated to you without any effort. You did nothing to receive it. But from verse 8, him that descended is the same that ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, he led captive in his train, and he gave some, from verse 11, to be apostles, to be prophets, to be evangelists, to be pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. You have received the gift of Christ, but you need to grow into the fullness of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is the word katadismos. It means to be equipped with light. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Until, it's a process. Until we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Growth is not a thing that we can look away from. If you are serving in the kingdom for 10 years and you have not migrated, there's a problem. A point will come when the devil will promote you. The devil will announce you. The devil will give you influence. Because all the people that will come under your umbrella, you will make them become like yourself. This is why our focus is not promotion. Our focus is not announcement. They are byproducts. If we grow, then everybody that comes under our radar is saved. If we don't grow, our influence becomes a trap. And the devil will use it to enslave a generation. This is why you can be praying for anointing. God is dealing with you. Because there is a dimension of Christ that you need to host. There's a measure of Christ that you need to host. If these things are not there, there will be a challenge with your consciousness. You will do everything you are doing, you will be heading in another direction. When you pray, what's your consciousness? When you study, what's your consciousness? You don't know that the level of accreditation you receive in heaven is not a function of what you are doing. It's a function of your growth. Because your growth will help you to mirror Christ in your prayer, to mirror Christ in your word, to mirror Christ in your singing, to mirror Christ in everything you do. This is why your message is not as important as yourself. It is the extent of Christ you host that determines the quality of your message. The quality of your message is not how intelligent it sounds. The quality of your message is the measure of life communicated. Jesus will say, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they too might be sanctified." So when Jesus comes to minister, he said, "The words you have heard have cleansed you." The man who is talking to you is purged. So you can't hear him and not be purged. So the power of the message is in the level of purging that the one preaching carries. Paul said, "For that we are affectionately desirous of you," 1 Thessalonians 2:8, "we did not only communicate to you the gospel, but we imparted the substance of our soul." This is why you can go to a place, somebody is preaching righteousness, but you live there, you are fornicating. He's preaching the fear of God, you live there, you are fornicating. The reason is because he's still playing with carnal things. So even though he emphasizes a dimension with audacity, you can't find yourself doing it. He's talking about the fear of God, but the people are godless. Sometimes I go to certain places, not to smite anybody now, but especially prophetic ministries. "Hell is free! Hell is free!" As if they are not aware of hell. "Hell is free! God is coming soon!" Nobody preaches the last day gospel like prophets. But if you mingle with them, thank God we have prophets that are teaching priests. Prove. I am saying this thing again and again so that something will shift in your mind. Your focus will no longer be how many people are gathered. Your focus will no longer be where am I invited to. Your focus is not how many people know me. Your focus now will become how much of Christ is formed on my inside. You can leave a meeting, the power of God move, but you went back to Jesus, you are not even aware. Your focus is the approver of heaven. You left a meeting, the power of God move, and while you are stepping out, God is troubling you. That statement you made, you exaggerated it. And throughout the night, you are there troubling with the Holy Ghost, and until the Holy Ghost recalibrates you. Both you and the Holy Ghost, nobody is talking about what happened in the meeting. It is the little exaggeration. So God is more interested in the quality of Christ on your inside than the magnitude of work you are doing on the outside. If the quality of Christ on the inside is not correct, the work outside is error, no matter how large it is. We must grow in God. We must grow in God. We must grow in God. And we must make it deliberate. Growth is deliberate. Sometimes the reason you eat is not because you feel like eating. Even when you are sick, you have no appetite. You know you have to eat. Because if you don't eat, this reality, you will be deleted from it. So in order to stay relevant in this reality, you must. Most times you exercise, not because you like it. Any area you want to grow in, there are definite articles that make for growth. You are an athlete. You must run every day, not because you like it. Sometimes they are running with music in their ear because they need something that will just keep them distracted from the rigor. Not because they want to hear the song, but they must have to run if they will grow in what they are doing. So it's a deliberate thing. And I want to show you certain deliberate installations that you must put around your life every day in order to grow in the life and the nature of God. There are three major gates that must be secured by every generation if we must trap, host, and express the heritage of God. I know I'm being calm this morning, But I want something to become life applicable. I want something to be imparted consciously into your life. Three, that must be watched and secure. Every time a generation begins to make headway, it's because they are preserving these three gates. The first is the gate of knowledge. If our knowledge is defied, everything we are doing is wrong. This is why accuracy can never be overemphasized. Luke, we said in Luke chapter 1 from verse 1, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things that are most surely believed among us. Are you hearing his choice of words? To set forth in order. That means truth, not just littered here and there, carefully coordinated. To set forth in order the things that are most surely believed among us, even as they were committed to us. He didn't say they were taught to us. He didn't say they were spoken to us. He didn't say they were revealed to us. He said they were committed. That means this man came to a point where they could handle it. Now I am in committer of those dimensions. So when I come to talk to you, I am coming to commit to you purity. I'm coming to commit to you power. I'm coming to commit to you wisdom. I'm coming to commit to you life. I have handled it. So the quality of their discipleship was not necessarily determined by their number. It was determined by dimensions that they hosted. He said, we that are bringing this message, we are host to dimensions. These things were committed. Paul will say to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, he said, the things you have received from me before many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. So it's not just a teaching. It's a definite dimension of God that a man can trap and relate. It's a kind of knowledge that this man had about God. They preserved its purity from generation to generation. This is why most times, when setting emphasis, I came in when Reverend Tolu was talking about authority and order. You may think it's not important. You may think power is important until you become so anointed and you become an agent of Satan. Till tomorrow, many prophets will go to hell. Not because they meant it, but because Balaam pioneered the way. Disorderliness, lawlessness. Till tomorrow, that anointing has a virus. Till tomorrow, it was Balaam that pioneered the dimension of gain as godliness. It was Balaam that pioneered the way of wardom in the prophetic. He said, God, you can't fight these people. Just cause them to sin against their God. Their God will begin to fight them. It's a wisdom that was locked up away from mortals. Balaam unlocked it. That's why the way of Jezebel and the way of Gain is the error of the prophetic till today. So long as that anointing comes upon your life, you must fight those two gates. It will sneak into your life whether you like it or not. Unless you come under government. So when a man is emphasizing order, you don't know what he's talking about. Until a kind of dimension, an anointing wants to work in your life, that's when you will see the necessity that you can be a prophet, but you are walking in the way of Balaam. First, it was a doctrine. It became a way. So many prophets have found it. Because order is not emphasized. This is why growth and growth in the right direction is too important. But for us to grow, we must keep the gate of knowledge. And when I'm saying knowledge, I'm talking about the experiential knowledge of God. You grow in it. Prayer will bring you into that knowledge. Study will bring you in but a custodian must communicate it. So there are many that have been raised to communicate and to keep the gate of knowledge. When you hear Apostle Aromen fighting doctrines, fighting things, it's not because you want to be a controversial person. If you stay around him, you know he's a meek man. But he has the responsibility of keeping the gate of knowledge. God will trouble you and force you into a particular lifestyle. The reason is because you are a gatekeeper. The gate of knowledge. John said that which was from the beginning, which we heard, we saw, we looked upon, and our hands handled of the word of life. He said that is what we've come to commit to you. Knowledge. The body of Christ cannot grow unless we have access to accurate knowledge. The knowledge of God. If there's anything you are doing, if there's anything you know that does not translate to more of Christ in you, it means that knowledge is wrong. That's what I'm trying to say. Everything you do that is within the boundary of accurate insight will bring the fullness of Christ alive on your inside. This is why it begins with you before it begins without. If it is not manifesting in you, everything happening around is a charade. Remember, Jesus came casting out demons. They said he did it by Beelzebub. So you can scream and people fall down. The devil is encouraging you in your error. You came to the platform from the altar of immorality. And yet you say, "Boom!" And things happen. And you say you have power. You don't know the demons cooperating with you. If you see them, you will stop preaching for 1 year. The knowledge of God is a gate that every generation must preserve. The second gate is a gate of interaction. Ability to connect to the Holy Spirit and download the dimensions of heaven. Truth is progressive. Realities are released as packets. God, the Bible says, light. Light is communicated in packets. There are many things our fathers knew, worked with. It was enough to tame darkness in their world. If we must conquer in our generation, we must constantly interact with heaven. We can trap realities here, teach them, and bring men into it. But there's another layer. We must teach men how to access the spirit realm. You must hear the Holy Ghost for yourself. You must know the voice of God, and you must follow the leading of God. If a generation is healthy and the man of God is accurate, everything he says from here is a confirmation. Everything he tells you is a confirmation. But we are stunted. So everything that comes from the Bible is a rhema. You can hear somebody preach a message and you are shocked. This is what God was telling me last week. How come? In fact, carnal men will gather and say, "You listen to that person." They don't know what's happening. They don't understand the game of interaction. You can come to church and you hear Reverend ministry and you say, "Is that not what God was telling me last night?" It will make the work easy. So every time a generation must be healthy, they must labor to enter into the economy of interaction. Everybody must hear the Holy Ghost for himself. If we don't hear the Holy Ghost for ourselves, we can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Remember, doctrine is the boundary for preserving our heritage in God. But doctrine can become a dogma if men don't hear God. 10 churches can be talking about prayer, but 10 churches are using prayer to fulfill 10 different ambitions. It's a dogma. The only way we can stay accurate is when everybody hears God. And if everybody hears God, we become careful. That's why you see the minister is on fire when he's talking to youth, but when he comes for ministers' conference, he's guided. You can scream and say anything you want to say when you are on the campus, but if you come Have you gone for a meeting before? They say, give a charge for 5 minutes and your heart begins to pound. Is it not the same you that is the man of Rema? Suddenly you came for a meeting, they say, you give a charge for 5 minutes. You start, God help me. God help me. What do I see? Because you know everybody here is current. This is why we must grow. When we grow, we become current in the spirit. If the guy comes and says something, say, no, now. I respect you, but what you are saying. Then you now see people begin to ask themselves, how far? That thing he said, what do you think? What? When everybody is alive in the spirit, our walk with God becomes faster and more effective. So we must preserve the gate of interaction. We must teach men how to link up with the Holy Spirit. Because every one of us is a child of God. It's not the apostle who is the child of God. Every one of us. We have eternal life. We must walk from that economy. The gate of interaction. If you see a generation going in error, interaction is lacking. People don't hear God anymore. They tilt to fables. In the days of Eli, the Bible said the word of God was scarce. They were reciters of the Torah, keepers of the laws of Moses. They understood the Tanakh, but the voice of God was scarce. So they could afford to drift into error. But one man came that understood interaction. He began by keeping with the emphasis on ground, studying the Torah, but there was something more. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7, he said the voice of God had not yet been revealed to Samuel. The guy was a reciter of the Torah. One of the laws of priesthood is to dwell on the Torah until you become a custodian of the Torah, because you will need to instruct Israel. Keeper of the laws of Moses, but the voice of God, the word of the Lord had not yet been what? Revealed. Because you don't only teach, you must connect to heaven. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21, he said the Lord appeared again to Samuel in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. When interaction begins, life flows through the word. This is why we mustn't teach everything. God gives people different messages for their generation. One may teach faith all his life. One may teach alignment all his life. One may teach prayer all his life. At the end of the day, if the Lord appear again in Shiloh, the Lord will reveal himself by the word of the Lord. So you can know the fullness of God by understanding faith. You can know the fullness of God by understanding prayer. The reason is because there is a link up to heaven. This is when God established Samuel. In verse 20 of that scripture, he said, the people of Israel knew of certainty that God had established Samuel. A man who has no connection can never be established. Never. Because you can easily drift into error. God knows that one day you can wake up, and because you want to buy a plane, you will now come and say, we will give now for the kingdom. We will give. You cannot. The restraint of the Holy Ghost is not there because there is no interaction. The government of the Holy Ghost is not there because there is no interaction. The guy needs to get money to do what he wants to do, and all of a sudden he came online and put his account number. The work of God have need. What is the need of the work of God? He needs to buy the latest iPhone, because the worker of God is part of the work of God. No restraint. There must be connection. And thirdly, we must preserve the gate of good character. Your anointing is worthless until we can see the God that power you through your lifestyle. Because cultures are revelations of predominant influences. When you see a predominant character, it's a revelation of the spirit governing the life. The souls of men are processors, and they traffic dimensions of spirits. If you see a man perpetually living a kind of life, know that the Holy Ghost is not the only person operating him. There's a predominant operating system that his life is giving expression to. His life is a monitor that reveals the spirit that rules over him. So the gate of character must be preserved. We must teach it. We must emphasize it. We must watch over it. The lady may be the most anointed, but if there are consistent patterns and error in her character, she should rest from the choir for a while. It's better we go without choir than have somebody emitting spiritual dimensions that will frustrate the move of God. Your character is a revelation of the spirit governing your life. Your character is a revelation of the realm where your soul is functioning from. Your character is the screen, the theater, the monitor that reveals to us the happenings in your soul. The gate of character must be preserved. It is wiser to emphasize character until a people grow in God than to emphasize an anointing where a people are characterless. They will become tools in the hands of the devil. This is why we emphasize growth. Because God cannot be communicated to a generation unless the vessels communicating God become conduits that God can interact with. The God that is not one with you cannot be revealed through you. So the growing in the fullness of the measure of Christ is an alarm that our generation must hear. Many people want to spring out because an angel appeared to them. How much of God is in your life? Many people want to spring out because they can call somebody's name, call his location. How much of God can be seen through your life? Many people want to spring out because now they can pray in tongues for 6 hours. They can exhort a people. They can give a charge. They can give rhema. But when you come around, our society is godless. A revelation of the quality of our Christianity. If you want to understand and judge the accuracy and the quality of our Christianity, look at our environment. It reveals to a large extent, the kind of energy that we are emitting. Jesus met fishermen, he met tax collectors, all kinds of people. When they drew close to him, they could not distinguish them. Judas needed to kiss Jesus to say he's the one. He had the ability to condition everybody around him to become like him. Growth makes all of that happen. John was on fire, full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. But the Bible said in Luke 1:80, he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. Growing in stature in the fullness of God. So when he came, even though he had fire, he still had the approval of heaven. Jesus will come and point at John and say, of all men born of a woman, there is none greater than John. He was a burning and a shining light. You were willing to stay under his light for a season. Growth is an alarm that our generation must hear, because there are too many babes venturing into hallowed grounds. There are too many babes laying their hands on hallowed realities. There are too many babes taking stones that they don't need to take, and they are dislocating many people from their destinies. We must come back and grow. We must come back and access our life and tell ourselves the truth. How much of Jesus does your life represent? I know you are a good teacher. I know you are a preacher. I know you are gifted. But how much of Jesus can we see in your life? He said the believers were first called Christians in Antioch, because when they saw them beyond their preaching, they could identify Jesus in their lives. When men look upon you, can they find Jesus? If you were not preaching for a second, can people see Jesus through your life? The preacher meets somebody that is in need, and his response shows that there is no compassion in his life. Sometimes you have to edit a lot of things, because if you see him in his element, you'll be amazed. Somebody show up with cancer. Say, get up! Can't you see that I'm busy? That's the man of God that comes on stage and he sees the sick, he lays hands and says, be healed. Let the sick meet him at home. That time is no longer the gift at work, it's the character of Christ. Then you will realize he has no time for anybody. The man of God that you see on stage and say, three widows, call three widows and give them 50,000. Wait until they meet him at home and say they have a need. That's when you realize that everything on the altar is a showpiece. Everything is stage managed. You think he has love? If you check your life, you will know you have no love. The guy can save money to give for partnership, but he can never give to anybody that has a need around him. The reason is because at the end of the year, they call the top 100 partners, and he must be among the top 100 partners, because that's the night of wearing the shiny suit. And when he comes out as number one partner, we have burden for the people. Is it the people you have burden for? How many beggars have you given to? Your friends that have need, how many have you given to? I've lived in a house. I've stayed with people that are pastors. My brother, I know compassion is a far cry. The nature of Jesus is lacking. That's why the quality of our message is weak. There's no generation that is as knowledgeable as our generation, but the impact is low, because Jesus is not communicated in what we say. There is so much intelligence, there is so much rhema, there is so much grammar, but there is little spirit. Jesus is not communicating. We must grow. And to grow, these three gates must be preserved. There are six things that makes for growth in the kingdom. I want to share with us this morning. You know, next time you pray, I know you are a man of prayer, but as you are praying, before you ascend, some of the things the Holy Ghost points out in your life, deal with them in prayer before you ascend. It will help you a great deal. A great deal, it will help you. Next time you respond to people when you are not in church, I know all of us are modest in church. I know all of us are kind. In fact, if we are ushers, we smile at everybody. But when you go to the market, when you go to the lecture hall, be careful to look for those characters if they are still there. What do you do under pressure? Check. They are revelatory of the depth of God in you and the measure of growth in your life. Never assess yourself by what you do when you are ministering. Always assess yourself by what you do when you are caught off guard. The more of God revealed when you are caught off guard is a statement of your growth in Christ. And every time you are caught off guard and you are wrong, don't be in a hurry to put it aside. Go back to God on that matter and tell him to help you. Six things that makes for growth. Very quickly. One. There are the things you know, but I want to show you some other things that should inform your consciousness. The first one is prayer. Prayer is not screaming. Prayer is not shouting at God. You know, somehow, unconsciously, we have reduced the potency of spiritual things because we are under pressure to perform. If you become truly honest with yourself, you will know. We have reduced the potency of spiritual things because we are under pressure to perform. When you are leading prayer, when you are praying in your closet, when you are praying wherever it is you are praying, honestly, what are the things you watch out for? What are the things you want to see? Your motivation is revelatory of your level of growth. Your expressions are largely revelatory of your measure of growth. There can be many activities around your life, but little approvers from heaven. You can come and scatter everywhere, but God have not showed up. Hope you know, when Elijah was praying, there was an earthquake. Hope you know, when Elijah was praying, there was a mighty wind. Hope you know, when Elijah was praying, there was fire. But Elijah was not carried away. The reason is because he has done business with God for a long time. So he knew what he was waiting for. He was waiting for communication. Most of us shout at God when we pray, but we don't hear the still small voice. Meanwhile, that voice that comes from heaven is what makes the difference in your prayer. You can pray for 6 hours, but you didn't make contact. You can pray for 7 days, you didn't make contact, and you can end that prayer and make it a subject in your preaching. Last month, I was in the place of prayer for 7 days, for 12 hours every day. That's the goal of your prayer, and it's mundane. When we started the year, we went on 12 days of prayer and dry fast, and the Lord was gracious. The Lord was gracious. What did God say? What are the marching orders? What are the new measures? None to show. But you came because you wanted to build the stature of your message. And your message need to come with your new stunt in the spirit. I was in the mount, in Babalola Mountain last month, and by the grace of God, we prayed from morning to night for 3 days. And I'm showing us things so that we know that underneath the rhema, we are liars. I'm showing us things so that we know that underneath the courage, we are deceived. We don't judge and vet our motivations. And a lot of young preachers are joining in this path of error. Under pressure to do a lot of things. You want to start your own fellowship because the last time you preach, you check, you didn't see any difference with what was happening when Tulu was preaching. And when he was preaching, people were shouting. Man, as I was preaching, they were standing. They could not even sit down. The fire was so much, the voice might not be in the fire. When I was praying, people were falling down. And when I checked, the people that fell down were even more. And when he was praying, what do you mean? Is it that we don't know God? Can't we pray? Can't we preach? How much of Jesus do you have? What the world is in need of is Christ. It's not a new message. What the world is in need of is Jesus. It's not a new doctrine. It's not a dogma. The measure of Christ that can be communicated is how much of him is downloaded in the place of prayer. So when next you go to pray, find God. When next you go to pray, wait for a download. If there's no download, you may be sure that you are exercising yourself at the level where you were. What makes for migration? What makes for a shift? What makes for enlargement is the download of heaven. That's why 2 people pray, their results are different. Because one is praying to have a new message. Another one is largely looking for God. So he sees him every morning. I studied Exodus. And I was sure that many times Moses would be on the mountain for days. And when I began to check the Bible critically, his prayer points were few. His God has spoke the most. Have you checked it out? Many times
Moses only asked questions. Or many times, Moses brought the burden of the people. There were few times Moses went to God and he was an orator.
He was either asking a question or communicating his insufficiencies or bringing the burden and the needs of the people. God spoke most in Moses' prayer altar because Moses is a man that is looking for the download of God. Our generation is bereft of the measure of Christ, but we are full of messages. We are full of gestures. We are full of dimensions, dramatic dimensions on altars. This is why there are no results. A generation of praying men must rise again. What happens to you when you begin to pray the kingdom kind of prayer? I'm being careful not to delve into priesthood, because I know a set man over the house, he has a throne there. But I want to emphasize things that will make for your growth. Because my focus this morning is true spiritual growth. And I've already benchmarked growth to be the measure of Christ that is what? Formed your inside. When we begin to pray, the first thing that happens is that God begins to bring stability to our walk with Him. Stability. A man who is growing is a man that has stability. He's not up today and down tomorrow. He's not falling today and rises tomorrow. I know the Bible says if a righteous man falls 7 times, he will rise 7 times. But don't be falling all your life. Thank God the Bible says 7 times. So don't fall 10 times in a week. When prayer begins to take root in your life, what will happen is that there will be stability. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. You will think Jesus just decided to invoke that dimension. That was what Jesus did all his life. The reason Jesus had stability in his walk was because he gave himself to prayer. The apostles learned it eventually, and they will say, we will not give ourselves to tables, but we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Because they know the reason they are continuously representing the kingdom is because prayer had become a lifestyle, not an act, not an activity, a lifestyle. You will pray until prayer takes root on your inside. Then stability will be one of the byproducts. You will find yourself growing upward and forward only. People will think situations will knock you down, but you will be standing. They will not be able to explain it. The reason is because prayer has become a lifestyle. If there is an alarm that the body of Christ needs to hear today, is the alarm of prayer. Prayer, not for show. Prayer, not activity. Prayer, a lifestyle. Many people are preachers today, but they are not prayer warriors. They are not intercessors. They have no business with the altar. Not one. Dressing up in different colors of suits with different chants of messages, but no prayer. If there is a marching order that the church must receive today, is the marching order of prayer. That prayer must become a lifestyle. It must be beyond you carrying out a particular activity to achieve a particular purpose. It must be beyond you coming with a prayer request to receive an answer from God. It must become a lifestyle. So every time you focus, every time you nurture that hunger, you can leave a meeting and then you are set on fire. 3 days you are praying every day, and then something happens. The devil does not come for you. The devil does not come for the impartation. The devil does not come for the anointing or for the gifts that you receive in that meeting. The devil will come for that fire. That prayer power you receive that made it easy for you to wake up around 12 midnight to pray, the devil will come for it. And after 3 days, you discover that it became a struggle. Everything you got from that meeting is lost. Stability is on the altar of prayer. And Jesus mirrored it as a pattern. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus will come back from that mountain hotter, stronger, and more violent. Why? He went on 40 days prayer and fasting. Before the devil came, Jesus prayed. That was why when he sensed that the devil was coming for Peter, he didn't advise him. He knew the cure of prayer. He was going to the cross. It was a struggle. He didn't consult with anybody. He prayed. He would have absconded mission. He needed to pray. So stability in the kingdom is only necessitated or quickened rather when prayer becomes a lifestyle. Every time your life of prayer is attacked, your destiny is about to be swallowed up. Every time your life of prayer is attacked, your fire is about to be lost. Every time your prayer is attacked, you are about to lose your calling. You may have a message, you may have a platform, but you are not part of those heaven is working with. You may have people listening to you, but you are no longer part of the army of heaven. You'll be amazed that church can be going on earth, but the candlestick has been removed from heaven. Prayer. There are few believers today that have prayer as a lifestyle. Few. And if we were revealed the percentage, we'll be shocked. This massive number you see here, most of us are preachers. Most of us are heads of fellowship. Most of us have visions already of what God wants us to begin to do next week. We came for this conference to receive impartation to go and start. But if we check here, how many people have a life of prayer, you'll be amazed that we will not be up to 10. There's no marching order if prayer has not been a lifestyle. The reason is because your life will not have stability. And if you don't have stability, the devil can come in any day and scatter everything. Reverend said, this walk will be 7 years by Monday. You don't know what it means. Those are 7 years of prayer. They are not 7 years of preaching. What you see is preaching. But what stabilizes the walk is prayer. So if a generation needs to hear an alarm of heaven, then they need to hear the voice of prayer. A prayer not to meet needs, but a prayer as a walk in the spirit. The next thing prayer does is that it activates your seasons. Many will play too if they don't imbibe the culture of prayer. For those of us who are preachers, we know there are times when you become rusty. No matter how you try, you know that you are beginning to plateau. If you want new seasons to open, then prayer must become consistent. You will think Jesus is the Son of God, so he did everything he did by default mode. If you study the life of Jesus carefully, you will realize that Jesus depended on many spiritual wisdom, many spiritual strategies to do the things he did with perfection. 40 years, Jesus was comfortable doing his carpentry job, but he sensed that a season had come. The season will come with temptations. The season will come with instructions. The next thing Jesus did was that he migrated to the mountain. Why? Meanwhile, every morning, the Bible said in Mark 1:35, in the cool of the morning, Jesus went to the solitary place to pray. That's the Son of God. That's the first fruit from the dead. That is the one that bears the fullness of the glory of the Father. Every day, he began his day praying. And most times he ended his day praying on the mountain to keep him afloat. And when seasons come, Jesus goes for protracted prayer. Every time a season comes, he goes for protracted prayer. These things don't sound like rhema. These things don't sound exciting. But these are the secrets that many men stand on. Become a warrior. Go and check his story. You will find all of these things. The devil, the Holy Ghost led him to the wilderness to be tempted. And he went on 40 days fast. And instantly, he unlocked the season of his ministry. And the Bible will say he returned in the power of the Spirit. His fame went abroad. Why? He went to the synagogue as his custom was. He opened the Bible, the Torah, to read Luke chapter 6 verse 16. But this time around, everything was different. It was his custom to go to the synagogue. But this time what he read it in particular. He knew that the season had come. He was reading the Torah for many years, but he never dared say he was the one. But after he unlocked the season, he went and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach glad tidings." They thought he was reading Isaiah so that he will read it over the people and he will bless them. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled before your eyes." He came from the mountain. Every season he unlocked by prayer. Let me tell you, you will receive 1,001 impartation. You will not know why you won't grow. Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, he returned from the mountain. And when the evening was come, 16:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, they brought all that were sick, and himself healed them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took away our infirmities. Seasons. How did he unlock it? He came down from the mountain. You are the only person not praying, but hoping that what you saw in the vision will manifest. You need to know that manifestation of different dimensions of God are locked into different layers of your growth. As you pray and sustain stability, you grow. And then as you pray, you unlock seasons over your life. Irresponsibility is the undoing of our generation. We are waiting for a prophet to come and say your seasons are open. You will hear it many, many times. Seasons. Matthew 17 verse 2. He went to the mountain after 6 days with Peter, James, and John. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. They appeared before him, Moses and Elias, and they talked to him about the kingdom and what he would do in Jerusalem. Seasons. You don't know why you are not growing according to the calendar of heaven. The foundation is not praying. We hear a lot of rhema. We are so blessed by them. Hey, Jesus. You write some down. You quickly caption it on Facebook. You'll be a Facebook evangelist for 12 years. And then you'll discover that there's no ministry on Facebook. A friend wrote something after the election. I read it. I started laughing. I told myself I will never be deceived. This media stunt. 4 contestants. He showed their followership base online. All of them had more than 100,000 followers. And during the election proper, all of them combined had 81,000 followers. He now said the people on Facebook are not human beings. Don't be deceived. Alignment is the key for next level. You see 2,000 likes. And then you say, oh boy, they start your go and start a fellowship. For 8 months, you will be 5. You will know those people on Facebook, they have a home. They are only strolling online. How much prayer power do you have? Is what will determine your seasons. Most of your seasons are dependent on your altars. If you begin to stir that altar, you'll be shocked that in 6 months you have more than 10 promotions. You'll be so shocked. I noticed a rapid migration in my life in 8 months. When I didn't go anywhere, I was praying every day, listening to messages and praying, listening and praying. It was as if, like Ezekiel saw, that he went, it was 1,000 cubits. It was at the ankle. He went, it was another 1,000 cubits. And it was at the knee. Another 1,000 cubits was added at the waist. Another 1,000 cubits. And the guy began to swim. He was in one position. And promotion was taking place. Volumes upon volumes were being added. It was Peter Tam that did an experiment. You know, Peter Tam is a strange prophet. Him and his friend David, they shut down for 2 years. They will pray in tongues for 48 hours, meditate for 48 hours. You can go and do anything, go eat yourself, eat, come back. Pray in tongues 48 hours, meditate 48 hours. After 6 months, they heard a sound. What is this? Both of them heard the same thing. They went out, they didn't see anything. They went back. The next day, they heard another sound. What's going on? And you know, when you hear a sound from eternity, nothing on earth resembles it. This is why the Bible says many people, their heart. People will run to the mountain and say, cover us. Have you seen that kind of thing? You will hear a sound that you will die 12 times. It's possible to die 12 times. Have you watched those days when we watched movies, 24? When Alexander Mahon, the guy killed his son now. He wanted to punish the guy. But this guy have been trained to withstand pain of death. So anything you do to him, he will laugh at you. He has died to pain. So the only way he can punish the guy is to make the guy die more than 10 times. So he connected a battery to his heart. And then he kept punishing him. If the guy wants to die, the heart will charge and come back to life. So the guy died like 20 times. That kind of thing can happen. So the plague of death is like that in eternity. Every time you hear a sound from eternity, you will faint. Everybody that saw God fell down like a dead man. So these men were praying and they heard sound. The third day they ran out. They now saw an angel that stood and his head was in the cloud. That was when their life changed. A point came when Peter Tam will want to think. He can see his thought coming before his thought enter him. You know what's happening? It's functioning from eternity. So you don't think to be aware. When a thought is coming, he sees the thought coming before he enters it. And the angel will say, don't think it. You know what has happened? Now his voice can determine the fate of eternity. And his thoughts can emit energy that can choke eternity. So he was brought to a place in the spirit where he can be well guided. There is a level of investment God puts on a man that if that man will violate God, God will kill him. Because if he does anything, he affects the generation. If he alters his voice, he can change the topography of the spirit realm. So Peter Tam grew to that level in the prophetic. When he's ministering, if he's doing his school of ministry, he can look at you and say, I'm seeing the spiritual realm around your life. Now, this is not you in the natural. He's seeing the plane of eternity around your life. And I'm seeing a dark object behind you. This dark object I'm seeing is not a demon. This dark object I'm seeing, from my analysis of the object, is a temptation of lust. And because it's behind you in the spirit realm, judging the distance between you and the object, I know it happened 2 weeks ago. But God delivered you by doing this. That's how he operates. In fact, he will be traveling with his friend David, and they can sit at the airport. they will write what they will see, where they are going, put it in their pocket. When they reach there, both of them will read it, it will be the same. It's not this one that you say, an angel is here. Another person said, the angel is there. That's not what I'm saying. They have access to the spirit realm. And Peter Tam did an experiment on prayer. And then, he, by prophetic insight, he saw a dimension of God that was ahead of him. And the measure is like 2 years. I told you that story too, so that you understand what I want to say. It was like 2 years afar off. And then he went and started praying in tongues. He blasted in tongues for 12 hours. And then when he opened his eyes, that thing that was 2 years ahead of him shifted to like 1 year, 6 months. Is this how this thing works? He now went back to prayer. And he blasted in tongues for 48 hours. And the thing that was 2 years ahead shifted to 6 months. Okay, is that so? He went back. And he prayed in tongues again for another 48 hours. And he saw the thing before him. And when he stepped out, the thing began to happen. There is an influence that you can create by prayer. Some of you, listen to what I'm sharing. I'm showing you strategies of kingdom growth. The reason we pray, sometimes we organize retreats, is because we know that ministry is supposed to enter a level of influence. The influence may be scheduled for 4 months. But we can stretch in prayer for 12 hours every day for 2 weeks. And that influence is drawn close to us. And suddenly, people wake up and everybody begins to talk about your ministry. It's not because you did any magic. No. That level of influence was ahead. But you pulled it close by prayer. There are possibilities in the spirit. There are certain promotions around your life that you should enter when you graduate. But you can do business on the altar until you can create those things. It will bring it closer to you until a point comes where while you are on campus, you begin to do them. It's a possibility. Many don't know how things change in the kingdom. They don't know how things change. Men of understanding know. Let me show you a scriptural base. The same way demons can shift your promotion 5 years from you. You know God told you your promotion is now. But the devil can come and alter the circumstances and push your promotion 5 years. The devil can push your promotion 50 years. Meanwhile, you are 50 years old. You are supposed to die at the age of 80. And at 50, the devil shift the manifestation of 50 years, 40 years ahead of you. So you will die before your season comes. Have you not seen people that died and then they brought their promotion later? Have you not seen people that died because of money? The moment they died, they now brought their gratuity. Say, we were processing this thing. The devil pushes it until you can't walk in the reality. By prayer, you can draw it close. Daniel said, I understood by books in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. He knew that according to prophecy, Jeremiah had prophesied that the captivity would be for 70 years. They had been in captivity for 70 years. Nothing was happening. What happened? The prince of Persia shifted their deliverance away from them. And Daniel went on his knees for 21 days. What did he do? He compressed those things that were shifted away until the angel said, I came to give you skill and understanding, and I was made to fly hastily. I was made to fly swiftly. So every process in the spirit realm began to accelerate. Every process in the spirit realm began to gain speed. Most of you are supposed to enter into dimensions of God, but they are far away. The devil manipulates it and it goes far away. Did you not read that Israel was supposed to be in bondage for 400 years? How many years were they in captivity? 430 years. The same way the devil can shift possibilities away, the same way you can use prayer to manipulate them into now. You can manipulate it into now by prayer. That's why I say prayer unlocks seasons. Seasons. Most of you are waiting for something to happen. No, you can make it happen. That's what prayer does. This is why men of understanding, they don't joke with it. They live a life of prayer. You don't pray, you are robbing yourself. Most of your helpers will be drinking wine and sleeping in yacht and forget that you are existing. Don't wake up in prayer. They will be there, cross their leg, marrying new wives. The money they should give you for your next level, They will use it and travel to the Caribbean island. They want to see what the color of the water is in the afternoon. The devil comes and gives them lofty appetite. The money they should give to you to buy the speakers for the next level of ministry. The guy wakes up one morning and says, I've never been to the Bahamas. I've heard stories about the Bahamas. Let's go to the Bahamas this week. It is your speaker money that they are going to spend in the Bahamas. Don't lock your season. Be there. They say pray. You come after 30 minutes. Shabba, 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 shabba. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Pray. You watch movies at 11:30 p.m. when your eyes are heavy. You now say, Jesus, you know I love you. I love you. And then you. Sometimes you carry your Bible to read. You now lie down. You open it like this. The next time you wake up, it's sun. It's the ray of the sun that wake you up. Your husband that is supposed to come is still in America trying to do PhD. And you are becoming 35 years old. You don't activate. Prayer, it activates your seasons. And let me tell you, your seasons determine your impact in the kingdom. Your seasons, they determine your impact in the kingdom. All of us here, we have different seasons ahead of us. There's a time when you can command 100,000 followers. There's a time when you can command open doors to nations of the world. There's a time when you can command the doors of nations to open, but they can be denying you visa now. So what you need to do is to bring that season now into now. So there's an influence that will come upon you. Frank Edward told the story. He applied for visa 3 times. They denied him. In fact, the 3rd time, he met the commissioner in the U.S. consulate. They said, no, go and do it. They'll give you. He went. They still bounced him. Until he went and did what he knew to do. And suddenly, they extended an invitation to him to minister at the experience. And when he ministered, the next Monday, he was supposed to go for visa interview. And when he came, the guy was smiling at him. Usually, the interview, you just come, there's a glass. You give them your international passport. And then they begin to ask you questions. It doesn't last for 3 minutes. And then before you know, they give you a green paper or a white paper. That's all. And when he came, the guy was smiling. Good morning, sir. He said, you were amazing at the experience yesterday. That was his interview question. Something he failed for 3 years. The next time he came, they didn't ask him any question. What was the question? You were amazing at the experience. Do you know whether he was supposed to attend the experience 3 years ago? But the season was what? Was far away. He provoked it and brought it into the now. And it became the answer to the visa interview. The reason the kingdom can't move forward is because many mighty men, their seasons are too far. Their seasons are too far. You can't enter into your season, so you can't provoke dimensions of the kingdom. Men must rise. And the men that must rise are men that understand the economy of the kingdom to bring their seasons through. I was teaching you yesterday how that beyond mantles, there are companies in the spirit that we belong to. Fraternities in the spirit that we belong to. Sometimes you are looking for an impartation for the healing anointing so that you can advance the sphere of the kingdom. But what you don't know is that in the spirit you belong to the same tribe with the healing ministers in the world, but you have not entered. There are many patriarchs. Reverend Tolu was telling me about some yesterday in this land that triggered revivals, opened up dimensions. Some of them could lock the heaven. Some of them could open barren wombs. Those men left this land. Their witnesses are still here. But you can't enter because those things are energy levels in the spirit. That's why prayer becomes more than, Father, give me bread and wine. It brings you into possibilities, spheres of spiritual possibilities. You may be here, nobody knows you, but you don't know that in the spirit you are in the lineage of Babalola. You don't know that in the spirit you belong to the lineage of Enoch. So when men begin to pray, God opens up doors of intimacy. Doors of intimacy. And they find things. They find things. They find things. I was sharing with you. John the Baptist thought he was going to be a priest because his father was a priest, but it's a lie. In his spiritual lineage, he was in the family of Elijah. But he had to be in the wilderness until the day of his own birth. When he came, what you saw was Elijah. He went into the wilderness as John, but by interaction, by prayer, he connected to his true tribe. And when he came out, the signature of Elijah was screaming at the people. Some of you belong to the tribe of Enoch. You are supposed to bring the church into dimensions of translocation. Not by fake doctrine, but by intimacy. You teach the church what to do, how to pray, where to enter in God through alignment. And suddenly, because you are there for some time, many people begin to have experiences. They will tell you, we were praying, and in our prayer meeting, we saw ourselves in Congo. We didn't know what happened, and we preached to the people in Congo. When we finished, we slept, we woke up, all of us were in our bedroom. It's another sphere of kingdom advancement. He's not telling people to go and walk through the wall. No, it's a dimension in God that you enter through intimacy. But only prayer can produce such dimensions. When the church don't pray, the church is helpless. There are different spheres we can grow into in the spirit that we rob ourselves of because we are sleeping on our beds. That's why I say, awake thou that sleepeth, and Christ will give thee light. You don't know that you are the Deborah of your generation. You are coming to fellowship. You are satisfied with leading the choir, singing a song. Who told you that's your best? Who told you that's your best? Who told you you need to start a new fellowship before the dimensions of God in you break out? You can be in a fellowship, but the ripple effect of your prayer can be what determines the move of God in Ogbomoso. We are Canaan. That's why we pursue after titles. We are Canaan. That's why we pursue after fame. We are Canaan. That's why we run after opening new ministries. When we know our place, there are three warriors that can be somewhere. The Bible gave a list of 30 men that walked with David. Walked with David. They were in one army, but all of them had their exploit. You don't need to start a new ministry to shake this land. The demons don't care about the name of the ministry. The demons are interested about the quality of fraternity you have in the heaven and the energy you can generate. What is the quality and the texture of your fraternity? Only prayer can bring you there. There's a measure of growth that the body of Christ cannot enter until we begin to pray. Men of prayer must arise. Growth is a function of prayer. It's a function of prayer. It's a function of prayer. But men don't pray. I came to sound an alarm. I came to sound an alarm. The Babalolas are among us. The Bens in Itahosas are among us. But we can't see you. We are seeing your title, but we can't see your reality. Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. The Deborahs are here. The Katukumas are here. But we can't see you. Can you journey into your spiritual tribe? Enough of titles. Enough of new fellowship. Journey the spirit until you enter into your tribe. What is your tribe in the spirit? What is your tribe? You are struggling on the microphone when you should be on the mountain somewhere praying. You don't know that men of your tribe are warriors in the spirit. It is your tribe that come down and say, let the heaven be locked. But you are struggling with microphone. You are looking for messages to preach to impress men. When you should open the heaven over territories. When you are there, 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 when you are there. When you are there, 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 when
good has already been given. But there's a kingdom to advance. There's a kingdom to advance. Bread and wine have been given. Money has been given. Influence has been given. But there's a kingdom to advance.
When you are there,
but we are the men of prayer. We must grow. We must grow.
When you are there.
When you are there. When you are there. When you are there.
When you are there.
When you are there. When you are there.
Knowledge and mysteries, because it is in mystery that our victory lies. God will create certain mysteries and it will confound the enemy. You will not know why a sister that is feeble and weak will suddenly become a warrior, because as she begins to pray, suddenly she will be connected to the lineage of Woodward Ether. She will be connected to the lineage of Amy Semper McPherson. You are wondering who imparted her. There's a gateway in the spirit. It's a mystery that God will bring the body into. Instead of wasting your time praying for things that are already provided, go and honor a grace and enter. You are sick, don't waste your time praying. There's a grace in this world now that can deal with sickness. Go and honor it and receive your healing. Come and spend your prayer in kingdom advancement. Man of prayer must rise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One of the most precious spiritual resources now are incense of prayer. If there's anything God is looking for now, are men praying from a pure heart. Is so lacking that God will do anything to raise intercessors. Men of prayer. You are looking for prosperity? Go and connect to somebody who was the key. Honor the grace and enter. You are looking for healing? Connect to somebody that has the gate. Enter. Prayer is needed now for warfare. Prayer is needed now for kingdom advancement. We can't waste tax resources. It's a scarce resource in the kingdom. This is why God looks for men of prayer. This morning I want us to lift our voices and say, Lord, make me a man of prayer. That's the first way to grow. The first way to grow in this kingdom is by prayer. The first way to grow is by prayer. Oh, 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 oh.
Satus, 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 Ekebeke Tebedi Miles, You are the Lord. You run the mass of prayers. Ah, then I love the Kusama. In the Yatasus, as the Baradas. Pienayasus. 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 Ataparasha. Rusalamasia Dabas. Iparataya yayasas rekabates imananotetasai an emergence of praying men by the spirit, by the spirit, by the spirit. Piatatata piatatata rekeserataya ikutekeketekezos ayayabosa strength all over the building. Even a talk about Caesar, Omamanetes, Abanakaidenos, Alebo Salabacole Morola Manias, Ipona Nanana Niberezates, Pearumatas, Peter, what was Zaga that was, Proto Godovadas. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We are going to be spending some more time to pray. The perception is that there are dimensions that we need to come into. Just stay in prayer as Pastor Victor comes to take us a little bit further.
Can you lift up your voice and cry once more that the heaven will come upon you like dew? The era of lukewarmness is over. After this timeout, somebody will contact an energy that will defy every form of addiction that have kept you down. Repeke Pakasia, Zeke Paradomesalia, Aiko Pakasiende, Akapaleto Atea, Iropolea, Asele Yeria, Asiekopa, Eparandiatu, Opolekepa, Etakwai, Welera Papo, Epapapo, 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 Opateli, Eswatemoro, Yere. Yere, yada, yada, passa ze, rato, upetetetelie, upetetetetiago, eleketerie, yero, ato, I never tear off. Yet a bell. Italian. Ezreal. We bring voices this afternoon, Lord. We partner, Lord, with the angels of glory that are assigned to work this afternoon. Lord, by all means, raise men, O God, that prepare the body of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, listen to me. Grab a neighbor's hand. They're about to break spiritual business. Grab somebody, grab somebody. Come, Baratan the Leader. We want to connect with the wells that have been dug by the forefathers. The fountain that we are flowing in this territory before now, we want to connect with the lineage that existed before we came into time. I lamanta baeto patenian toporodia liparian de possessed retepazigo paradia ariato pagadia agapatia 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 let the river flow. Let the fountain of the deep, let it be let loose. Let it be let loose. Up, ye perios. Moment whatsoever could not surmount them will not keep us down. Hey, Eteria, Le Copa Ziza, Asoteria, Burning Men, Welling Women, Mopai Otters, God will not lack incense. Pure incense in our time, in our generation. He will not lack incense. We will make enough available. I tell you, Thank you, Lord. Before I leave the way, oh my God, oh my God, all right, please, before I run away, the Lord wants to give somebody the spirit of might. Right now, lift up your hands. There is the Amonto Braskivenili Kospali Tapundri Ilekusevilis Kabalai Asavile Yatoria. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, I ask Lord right now that you stretch forth your hand and begin to anoint that one with the spirit of might. Might to stand in the place of prayer. Might. The spirit of might is all over the building. It's all over. Shabarande kosasiata. Ratoba sata. There is no more lukewarmness. No more lukewarmness. No more tiredness. The Lord comes upon you as a spirit of might. Shambraselia.
Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Man of God, God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. I want to round up the meeting. Please pay attention to what is happening here. My voice is not that loud. There are men that carry certain atmosphere of the spirit. And one of the angels that move with certain men, not every man of God, certain men of God, they are angels that are put as angels. When such men come into your house, come into your environment, certain other portals begin to open. There were procession of angels as he was ministering. So the angelic realm was open. Before he said the spirit of might, I saw the angel of might was standing behind us as he was ministering. Because what God is doing, my hand was heavy because the angel was tapping to pay attention. Samson looked ordinary. But when the spirit of might comes, it can carry gate. Apostolic order is to apostolic grace is to restore men to order, is to reorientate men and bring men out of error into accuracy. I saw scrolls are open in the heavens. Scrolls. As we are praying, they are reading your scrolls into your spirit. Wait. One prayer point. Lawrence was telling me about him. We were in the secret room with Lawrence Apostle. I was asking about him. And they were telling me this, Lawrence, when the car. Prophet, this. Okay. That was why I didn't call that as a new song. I wanted to sit at the back to receive the draw. Because I don't joke around graces. Hallelujah. We are entering into something today, like I've been praying, that will rid a generation out of error. You are not getting what I'm saying. We are not here because we are perfect. Grace has answered us. Mercy has visited us. A generation that will be accurate is arising today. Are you with me? Are we together, please? I want us to pray a prayer. As you were praying, as you were speaking prayer, I saw God listen. And I saw William Maro Braham. Wait. And I was hearing God listen saying to Braham, That's not your office. Stay with the healing. Stay with the preaching. You are not a teacher. Because what I stayed with around Brown people a lot. What pioneered Brown into those errors was that he refused to listen to God and listen. The way Pastor Victor followed Apostle Mike. You see, connections of ministry. Everybody understanding their role. And we are playing it. I called you one day. God showed me a big thing in my room. And he showed me Ciro Ronaldo. Then he showed me Messi. I saw a life format in the street. And he said to me, when Ronaldo did not score, he doesn't rejoice with the rest. But Messi take the grace to play with other people to shine. Will you be my Messi? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The God of this anointing is also described anointing. They have been activated here. William Graham is a prophet, but more than a prophet. He was the one that other men saw. A. Allen saw him. T. L. Osborne saw him and life come in order. You are not getting what I'm saying. I'm saying as we depart this place, this man has brought accuracy into the house. See, I have prepared for this all my life. You see, what I was saying to myself is this. We are bundles of grace. Mercy is what we have received. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. What is happening here, if we start opening it up, we will not leave this place. But I want you to pray a prayer. Just one prayer. Because every man, sir, everybody here, sir, there was one day you prayed a prayer and God answered that. I know God answered prayer, but you can point to 2007. I just lie down and I prayed a prayer. Last year, I knew in my spirit that something must not cross the decade with me. I saw contention. I shared with some of my brother, and sister about battle for destiny. Everything he's saying, you know, I was talking to you, we were whispering to each other. Everything he's saying, he was responding to the cloud in the spirit. He was following it. He can be called an apostle, but he's a prophet. Because he didn't open a scripture. Hallelujah. But yet we have opening scriptures. I want you to pray today. Jesus, if you are real, I have had men talk about it. That was what Job said. I have had with the hearing of the ear. Said, but now, Jesus, please today, if you are real, I want to encounter you. Not angel, not elders in the spirit. By the utterance that has come forth, I want to encounter you. Jesus, if you are real, I want to encounter you. I want to meet with you. I know men have talked about you. Men have discussed you. But now, my eyes want to see you. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. Quickly, because of our time, listen to me. One of the reasons why I don't accept invitation, one of the reasons why I come there is because I always say, I don't want to join in the confusion of the generation. Because when you see people that bring meeting and do meetings, you can see confusion. They don't know what they are doing. I'm not going to be part of that because I will give account. That's why I say, I'm not available. Sir, a wisdom must eat our generation. A wisdom. See, oh God. You know what he said? When he said, you can come to church and what God has shared with you during the week, your pastor is sharing it and he's discussing it. That is why Bible says, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. There are realms in God where what God is saying to you is not only to you. It's a public announcement. If you have here, you can pick it. How will we send fake people out of our pulpit? Our camp is that everybody come to understand the Spirit. Are we blessed today? I say, are we blessed today? See, be like me. When I hear such message like this, I don't go to pray. I go and see that and begin to think. Most of us don't think. We think it's a crime to think. Sir, it is possible for you to have prayed 10 years, 7 years, 6 years, and God brought a lamp to answer your prayer. When the man has stopped, you don't pray. you begin to seek for direction, how to access the doors that are opened. Because our generation is used to opening doors. Because if you seek, you will find. If you look, it shall be open. So doors are open for people in the spirit, but they are not pressing to the doors. They are still opening more doors. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. A door has been opened to us this afternoon, and wisdom will teach you. Something like this, I don't like crying by. Just taking a stroll. I don't give bread and too much. I don't share. Do you understand what he was sharing? I will say that later, after 1 week. Go and probe on the thing. Begin to think. You will see things begin to connect. What happened to 2020? What happened to 2015? Are we getting what I'm saying now? There are diverse angels here, but I don't want to open that rest. Come and go and rest because of evil. I pray for you today that you are entering into your scroll. In the name of Jesus. In him is life. See, the word of God. Anything outside him is death. In him is also accuracy. Anything outside him is error. No matter how beautiful they look. I am praying today, by the grace available in the house, you are entering to your scroll. Sir, the lowest form of the prophetic is what people that call numbers and call names. That's the lowest. There are people that prophesy by scroll. They prophesy by that which has been seen in the heavens. Satan can't function there. That is not must come upon the body. I was sharing with you, God had to move out of that, because that is that one calling name, calling number is very sellable, very marketable. But when you begin to speak to a man by his scroll, you are aligning with his right destiny. What has happened here this afternoon is that your scrolls have been opened in the heavens. And I push your life by the mercy of Yahweh into your scroll. As you are leaving this place, accuracy will begin to hit you. Paul asks, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? Act dances. What will you have me to do? I can't be doing everything. What will you have me to do? He said, go. It shall be telling you what you shall do. I am praying for you. No matter how much you have lived in confusion, from this afternoon, understanding is hitting you. There's a spirit called the spirit of supplication prayer. It's upon him. It's upon him. It's upon you, sir. We activate the dimension of prayer this afternoon in the mighty name of Jesus. It's not a prayer to show. A prayer that is backed with spiritual skills. We unleash all of us together. We pray for a manifestation and the operation of the spirit of supplication and of prayer in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory. Can't just begin to appreciate his name. Begin to bless his name. Give him praise. Pray the Holy Ghost. Thank him. Something has eaten. Thank you, man of God. God bless you so much. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. Pray in the spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by SpiritNerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with SpiritNerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.